Welcome back. You are listening to the final stages of Today with Sean O'Rourke, a special Christmas edition. Now, as we know, and there's a lot of coming and going, I think Ed Hick has a lot to be answering for with that special cocktail, giving it a good old shake. The party piece may be considered to be something of a dying tradition. Once we would all joyfully jump up with our speciality, but now perhaps it's rare to hear a poem. Quiet down there in the back, please. We're back on air. The Henry girls are being disruptive. But anyway, we're not letting them out of here yet. They've one more song to perform with our other guests. As I say, it's rare to hear a poem or a recitation during a gathering. And I'm very happy to say that I'm joined by a speech and drama teacher of great renown. She has probably taught, I would say, thousands and thousands of Dublin school children and pupils. Maura Cranny, a very good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. Spíseach, you may need to hold a microphone from Ms. Cranny and so that we can hear her all the more easily. And I'm happy to say as well, I am joined by two people who would be considered to be two of her star pupils who have gone on to fame. Maybe, well, in one case, some fortune, I think. And renowned in both our cases. Hugo McNeill, famous on the rugby fields of Ireland, and Rory Quinn, former Minister of Education and leader of the Labour Party. Good morning to you both, and happy Christmas to you.
Good morning, happy Christmas.
Hugo, tell me about Miss Cranny.
Well, Miss Cranny was fantastic. She came to Blackrock College and used to do the sort of the plays there. And we had two fantastic plays. She did the speech and drama, and we did this Let My People Go, which Miss Cranny, you'll remember, about sort of Negro spiritual, bringing the slaves from Africa. And we had a wonderful choir in Blackrock, and it was fantastic.
And Hugo was outstanding in the leading role. And it was very, very difficult to get him out of the field of rugby to come on a stage. But when he came on as Atman, the African chief who was taken in slavery, because the theme that we were doing was 400 years of the slave trade. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Well, he was never an ordinary spear carrier, Hugo McNeill, it has to be said. Rory Quinn, I called you last week to check on your availability. I said, would the name Ms. Cranny ring a bell? And you said, it would ring a whole orchestra. Why would that be the case?
Well, she's a very attractive woman now and then. And you don't often get that in an all-boys school to begin with. Secondly, she just had a different approach to learning and to teaching. It wasn't like scripts. It wasn't like remembering this set or that set. It was about really expressing yourself. In our case, there was an operetta in St. Michael's, if you recall. I was the Royal High Executioner.
I tell you, you learned it well.
But I actually got to make my own acts, you know. It was just a great part of growing up.
And Rory was an outstanding narrator and debater and excellent and very bright and could form ideas overnight. He was very, very, very bright and a wonderful speaker. He elocuted so well and naturally. This is the great gift he had. And he was able to use it in ministry very well.
One of the things you did was, I think you did choral verse-speaking choirs, if I explain that. You better tell me what that means, because we didn't have that in Galway.
No, and it's a great art of teaching elocution. The choirs, going into a class, I'd put them all into a speaking choir. And through the speaking choir, they would recite beautiful poems and works by Eliot or Shelley or any of the great writers. And the choral verse was a way of teaching good speech, the technique of speech, diction, and, of course, expressing the voice with tone colouring, feeling and understanding. And every child got the same attention. Sometimes there was talent in the choir, so you pick that individual out and give her or him narration. And the boys loved it in the different schools. We did The Dream of Gerontius, we did The Hound of Heaven, big works too, because and we had the numbers.
Hugo, how demanding was she?
She was really demanding. She was very demanding. She was much more demanding than any rugby coach or trainer that I've ever said, because she didn't actually, there was nothing that would be wrong. If something wasn't done properly, we did it again. And we did it again, and we did it again, and we did it again. And I'd say Joe Schmidt or Cavan or Eamon Fitzmaurice or Martin O'Neill wouldn't be as demanding as Miss Cranny was. But she got the results.
Rory, the Labour Party must have been, well, a party by comparison.
Oh, Rory, no, it's great.
I associate it with being fun.
It's great fun.
Fun and doing things, but at the same time, and it was only much later that you realised that fun didn't get in the way of learning an awful lot.
Now, I know he is, and I would say he would see it himself, unfortunately, the ex-minister for education. But do you have a view, Maura Cranny, about the curriculum and maybe something retrograde that has happened in recent years? About maybe things being lost in...
Oh, elocution, the word. People are frightened of the word, and it's about effective speaking. Teaching children to develop the human voice, for to me, is the organ of the soul, and every effort should be made, like the footballer or the rugby player or the orchestra, the instrumentalist. They have to work over and over again. You don't get brilliance overnight. You've got to train.
And these things stay with you throughout your life. And you're about to prove that to us now, because I think you have something that you want to perform for us. You mentioned, I think, Pádraig Colum earlier.
Yes, I'm doing a little poem by Pádraig Colum. And it's about the time at the moment where there's such loneliness and people still walking the roads. And that is what he talks about. And in this little poem by Pádraig Colum, The Old Woman of the Roads, I'm going to recite it for you. Oh, to have a little house, to own the hearth and stool and all, the heaped up sods upon the fire, the pile of turf against the wall, to have a clock with weights and chains and pendulum swinging up and down, a dresser filled with shining delf, all speckled and white and blue and brown. I could be quiet there at night, beside the fire and by myself, sure of a bed, and loath to leave the ticking clock and the shining delf. Ach, but I'm weary of mist and dark and roads where there's never a house or bush. And tired I am of bog and road and the crying wind and the lonesome hush. And I'm praying to God on high, and I'm praying him night and day for a little house, a house of my own, out of the wind and the rain's way.
You have just taken our breaths away. And I hope, and Rory described you as a woman of great beauty then and now. He never spoke a truer sentence, either in or outside of Leinster House. And you are all of 91, I am told.
That's right, yes.
And Gomorrah Tuan Cage, as they say. And something that will be known to people around the table, but not to maybe the wider audience. Mary Louise O'Donnell, you didn't lick it off the street, did you?
Oh, stop. Stop. Well, mother, here you go. 91, and we never saw her.
She's one.
No, she was very. She was dedicated to education all her life, and whether it was a 9-year-old or a 19-year-old, or whether it was in first, second, or third level education, she believed in it entirely, and she had a great vocation. And like anybody I know, Rory would know about politics, you have a dedication to your work, and sometimes family comes second. We didn't out of love, you know, in loving, but in time, she spent all of her life in vocational education, in education.
And Rory, they say it. I'm quoting Tommy Gorman here. Nerda, if you can avoid it, try not to follow a good act. But I'm going to ask you to follow a good act. You have something of a party piece.
Well, it's not really a party piece. Well, it's something that I associate with children and Christmas, and it's
You'll be getting marks out of 10, by the way, as will Hugo later on.
It's a poem called The Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement Clark Moore. And it reads as follows. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver, so quick and so lively, I knew in a moment he must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen.
Lovely.
He learned well, Ms. Cranny. Hugo.
Well, I have a confession to make, because Ms. Cranny was very kind in saying playing this role about Atman in the spiritual, and she very kindly gave me the lead role the next year as Thomas Moore in Moore's Melodies. But the problem, it was wonderful because we had an entire choir that could actually sing. But the next year, because I didn't have a note, and so the next year disaster struck. They brought in the Mikado. And so there was no way out of it. I couldn't play the Mikado. Miss Cranny said, "Well, could you mime?" I said, "I can't mime." And so all the lead roles were actually had to be singing. So I couldn't have a role, but I was desperate to be in it. So I became one of the guards at the back.
Oh, you were a spear carrier.
I was a complete spear carrier. But the only problem was that the other spear carrier was 5'6". And so we looked a little bit like little and large, kind of next to me. And I never learned. So after that, I realised, never, you know, be very careful about what you sing. But some years later, I sort of forgot that, and Miss Cranny's advice, the former teammate from the Irish team, Donal Lenehan, who's often works with RTE, we're at Michael Kiernan, a teammate's wedding in Cork. And so suddenly they're asking everybody to get up and sing. Donal got up and sang brilliantly, great son of Cork. They were looking for a Dubliner to make a fool of himself. I was brought up, and the one song that I sort of knew was the old Monkees song, Daydream Believer. You didn't really have to have a note. I had a band behind me, so cheer up, Sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean, to a Daydream Believer? Now, when I finish the song, there's one of two things you can do. The first is get the hell out of there and make the other fellow make a fool of himself. Or the second is you can kind of go on for the encore. And unfortunately, I didn't choose, and Miss Cranny wasn't around, the first of the two options. And so a deep-seated ambition, which should have remained deep-seated, to sing Bruce Springsteen's Dancing at the Dark.
In Cork.
It came to mind. So I started off. I wake up in the morning and I ain't got nothing to say. And I realised I didn't have anything more to say. So I had the full dance floor came to a halt. I had the band behind me, so that came to a halt. And I got great ridicule as I sat down. But the little epilogue, the next morning, I was walking along Grand Parade in Cork. And this guy was about 40 yards away from me. He started nodding. And I said, "I don't know him. I didn't meet him at the wedding last night. I'm sure I don't." And the closer I got to him, the more he kept nodding. And as I went past, he said, "Hey, I hear you made a complete langer of yourself at Kiernan's wedding last night, didn't you?" And I said, "I did." He says, "I knew it." And he walked on. So since then, I have never ever tried to sing.
You thought he wanted your autograph.
No. The way he was nodding, I knew what was
it's him. Well, now, Hugo, after that outburst of humility, what are you going to perform for us?
Well, just a little bit. Was from the Moore's Melodies, and the poem was for the Dear Harp of My Country.
Oh, lovely.
Dear Harp of my country, in darkness I found thee. The cold chain of silence had hung o'er thee long. When proudly my own island harp I unbound thee and gave all thy chords to light, freedom and song. The warm lay of love and the light note of gladness have wakened thy fondest, thy liveliest thrill. But so oft thou hast echoed the deep sigh of sadness that even in thy mirth it will steal from thee still. Dear harp of my country, farewell to thy numbers. This sweet wreath of song is the last we shall twine. Go sleep with the sunshine of fame on thy slumbers, till touched by some hand less unworthy than mine. If the pulse of the patriot, soldier, or lover have throbbed at our lay, 'tis thy glory alone. I was but the wind passing heedlessly over, and all the wild sweetness I walked was thy own. Mm. And Miss Cranny so just embodied wild sweetness and dignity. Thank and you. It's fantastic to
and
see
she,
you again.
She wouldn't, I suspect, have tolerated the iPad on the stage or elsewhere. No. Now, would you give the marks? I suppose I'd like to think it'd be commensurate with your own age at this stage, maybe. What do you think? Have they retained it?
They were both excellent students. I mean, they really were. I couldn't give them marks.
Okay,
well, but I would like to say that elocution isn't taught the same as it was long ago. Everybody in the national school was taught elocution freely. And sadly, I don't know where it disappeared to in the 60s and 80s.
Well, maybe if Rory could be minister for a day again, that could be rectified, that position.
I found out something, Sean. Being minister for 4 months or 40 months doesn't give you time to do some of the things that need to be done.
Okay. But you did bring in oracy as part of the literacy programme.
Yes, I did.
You did. You did bring in the oracy.
Okay. Well, look, thank you all for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
That's all from today from this programme. Claire Byrne will be here. The wonderful Claire Byrne is going to be back on air. She's going to be here on Monday and Tuesday. I'll be back next year. That's the day after New Year's Day on January the 2nd. Thank you all for listening this year. And it remains for me just to wish you all a very happy Christmas, however you are spending it or wherever or with whomever you are spending it. May it be a happy and a healthy time. As Jimmy McGee might say, another person who would be familiar to listeners, be careful on the road.